So we've been doing a study on our Lord, and I think since October. And the last part of it that we've been doing was talking about how our Lord is our example. And we've gone through that, and I'm going to continue that thought about He's our example, but now I'm going to relate it to how our life, right, should be that example, right, of that. So anyway, let me pray, and then we'll get into this for this evening. Lord, I thank You for this day. Help me with preaching and teaching Your Word, and use it for Your glory and honor. In Jesus, Your precious name. Amen. So you're in 1 John chapter 2. Look down here, verse 3 through 6. So our Lord is our example. And you think about it, our lives should point people to Jesus Christ. Not only our words we should tell, but the way we live should ultimately influence people for Him. They should see something different in our life. They should see this joy and peace, right? They should see, now none of us are perfect, right? None of us are perfect, but the reality is they should see something different in us than those that are of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, if you look here, verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Now, 1 John is a great book, right? So this is a free note for you. If you have questions about your salvation, you can always come, right? And I will help you to make sure that you get that settled. But the reality is I can't give it to you, the assurance. The Holy Spirit can give you the assurance. The Holy Spirit can convict you and say, yes, you're lost. Or the Holy Spirit can convict you and say that you are born again. But this book of 1 John will help you. There's different things that are mentioned here will give you assurance of your salvation. And here it is. It says, "Hereby we do know that we know Him." What is He saying? You know that you're born again, right? "If we keep His commandments." Now, again, He's not saying that you're perfect, right? But there's a desire that's in your heart. You want to do what's right. You're trying your best to keep what God said in this word. "And he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now again, you take it in contents. He's not saying that you got to be perfect, because if you've got to be perfect, then none of us, right, is saved, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God even after we got saved. But what he's saying is, if someone's saying that they're born again, have a profession of faith. Just because you have a profession does not mean you have a possession, right, that you're saved. I can tell you that I'm a brain surgeon, right? I can profess, right, that I'm a brain surgeon, but I'm not, right? You wouldn't want me to operate on you, nor would I want to do that. And what he's saying is, if someone's saying that they're truly born again, well, there should be a difference in their life, right? And that's what he's telling us. But look what he says here. In verse 5, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Now that word perfected, sometimes it depends on how it's used in the sentence. Here it talks about is complete, finished, accomplished, right? So it's God's working through us. He goes on and says, "Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him," right? Those of us, right, are saying we're Christians, saying we abide in him, we're born again. Look what it says. "Ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked," right? So again, you can see in our study, we're talking about he is our example. And now what we can see is the Bible is telling us our walk, our lives should be different, right? If you're saying that you're born again, well, there should be evidence, right? There should be a desire that you want to follow the Lord. Again, we're not perfect. Again, you don't take this out of context, right? He's not saying that someone's backslidden is lost. He's not saying that, right? We know if someone's backslidden, they'll be chastened. But if someone's truly born again, there should be a desire. You can go in your life when you got saved, you may not remember the day or the hour, but that day that you got saved, if you look at your life, there's a change, there's a difference that's in your life. And here, that's what John is saying. There's this change. There's this desire that you want to keep God's word. If you're saying you have no desire to keep God's word, then something's wrong. You're either backslidden, far backslidden, or you're lost. You can't be in the center of God's will, right? You have no desire to keep God's word means you're not right with God. You're either backslidden or lost. That's the only two that you could be if there's no desire. So anyway, what he's saying is this. as he walked, it should be our desire. Is that true? Getting ready for a revival service, it kind of, God worked it out this way. But is that what's in our heart? Just saying, you know what? I want to live for the Lord. I want to keep His Word. If not, can I tell you, what a wonderful time today that you can say, you know what? I need to get right with God. And get right. Ask the Lord to forgive you and say, Lord, give me that desire again. Maybe you lost the fire that was in your heart. Maybe you lost that desire, and maybe the world, the pressure, trials, whatever, family issues, health issues, mental issues, whatever, has got you to the place where you're not trying to walk like you used to. Can I tell you? God's saying, hey, that's His desire. You know what a revival meeting truly is? A revival meeting is for believers. Now, everyone can come. Yes, bring the lost. Those that are lost, bring them. Because there's be messages that talks about the gospel and how they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So bring those that are lost. But a revival truly is supposed to revive us as believers, to get us back to where we're supposed to be and that love that we have for our Lord. So anyway, what he's talking about is our walk. Is our walk like His walk? Amen? So again, taking in contents, none of us are perfect. Go to first chapter of John, 1 John. So just go one page. We may be in the same page for you. But in 1 John chapter 1, look what he says here, verse 3. So again, he is our example. And look what it says here in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now it's wonderful. God's talking about how you can have joy and your joy can be full, right? You think about a cup. If you had a cup, I love iced tea. And I think every time that we got something other, bought bottled water. But every time I think I went to the restaurant, I bought iced tea. Didn't I buy a sweet tea, I think, every time? That was you who bought one. So what's that? I didn't buy ice. What did you say? Cherry cola? You got it. I was talking to me. Me. I went by cherry cola. But make sure you read this. It says, don't lie.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. So anyway, we'll get to your verse here soon, right? But anyway, I love sweet tea. Love it, right? And when I get sweet tea, I just don't want a little. I want a lot. Amen. Fill me up. And you think about joy. I just don't want a little joy. I want it filled up. Amen. And here it is. He tells you that your joy may be full. You can have joy that's full. And he's talking about fellowship. In contents, he's talking about fellowship. So what that means is your walk and my walk with the Lord. That's what he's speaking of. He's not talking about your position, because that's settled. He's talking about us as believers. And look what he says here about our fellowship, about our walk, our practice. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, right? He's holy, right? Again, none of us are perfect, but He's holy, right? God is light. There is no sin, right? And look what it says. If we, what is that replying saying? Who is He including in that group when He says we? It's the believers, right? He's including Himself, but He's including the believers, right? So this isn't for the lost, but this is for us as saved people. If we say we have fellowship with Him, right? What does that mean? That you're right with God. That's what you're saying. You're in the center of God's will. And look at this. And walk in darkness. Now again, He's not talking about the lost. What is He saying? That you have sin in your life. There's things that are there, going back to there's not that desire to keep God's word. You know what God wants you to do, and you're not doing it, right? That's what He's saying, because God is light. And He's saying if you're saying you have fellowship, again, He's not talking about you lost your salvation. He's not talking about those that are lost. He's speaking of us as a believer. He says we lie and do not the truth. What is He saying? You're deceiving yourself, right? You can pretend you're something, but you're not, right? So what he's saying is, if we have fellowship, then the reality is this: there will be a desire in our heart to keep sin out. Goes on. But if we walk, again, we, in the light, what is he saying? That we're with the Lord, we're trying to do what's right, trying to keep sin out, right? As he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen? So again, he's referring to those as believers, right? And what is he saying? We're in fellowship. And since we're in fellowship, I know, Mark, you wouldn't have this problem, but you know, I have a problem. It's called sin, right? And even though, I'm just teasing him, even though I'm saved and I try to walk for the Lord, I still fail the Lord. And you know, what I need to do is, if I want to stay in fellowship, I go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, right? So I'm honest about that. I'm not making excuses, right? I'm not making excuses for my sin, because if I want to walk with the Lord, I'm going to have to realize, you know, if I'm walking, he's in the light, and I'm going to be in the light, that means I have to take care of sin. It says, if we say we do not sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, right? We're saying we're perfect, right? I never sin. I never do, you know. Well, then he's saying, well, no, that's not truthful, right? He says, if we confess our sins, again, he's talking about us as believers, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Amen. So what he's saying is you're not walking with the Lord like you should. Amen. So anyway, here it is. He's talking about, again, he's our example. And if he's our example, we should walk like him. So ask yourself, how is your walk, right? We're not talking about physical walk that's there. But your walk, your life, examine it. When you look at your life, right, we've gone through the scriptures of our Lord Jesus Christ, different things that we saw in his life. Can we see that in our life? And if not, we have to ask ourselves why. Now, going back to, I think it was Mark, when he was praying to the Lord, he was talking about we all grow, right? And we all go at different lengths, right? Or different, you know, growths. And some of us may be here, some of us are here, some are there. And it takes time to get there, right? And the reality is, don't compare yourself to Mark, or don't compare yourself to Elma, right? The reality is, your walk is different. If I tried to keep up with someone that was in a marathon, I would never make it, right? Because some of they have already trained, right? So stop trying to compare yourself to others. Find out what God wants you to be and do that, amen? But anyway, I should look at my life and say, you know, Lord, is there anything that's there that I need to work on? The reality is, yes, we all do, right? Lord, is there things in my life that are what you're defined as darkness or sin I need to take care of? Well, Lord, show me that, right? But examine your life. Is your life, when you think about your life, when you're looking at your life, can you see the Lord living in you? Again, he said, don't deceive yourself. So what should you do? Admit it. Amen? Why is it so hard to admit sin? Amen? Do you know our world today hates to talk about sin? They always have some excuse for everything, right? They always have an excuse for everything, you know? They talk about alcoholic or this or this. It's sin. Just call it what it is, right? Well, it's some kind of disease. There's a difference between a disease and sin, right? And they'll call all kinds of things. Well, this person has this and some kind of disease. A disease is like cancer, right? You think about the others is sin. They have a drug problem. It must be a disease. Well, they have a sin problem. That's their problem. It's a sin problem. Amen? They need to deal with their sin. It's because people don't like that word, sin. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like the word either sometimes in my flesh, right? But call it for what it is. When you look at yourself and God starts to show you your walk, there's something wrong, realize what it is. It's sin, right? If you need to, look in the mirror and look and say, you know, sin, right? You know, it'll point back to yourself. You realize that. But the reality is, it's sin. Confess it. Amen. Look what the Bible says over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So again, he's our example. As we can see in the scripture, it says we should walk as he walked. Again, none of us are perfect. We should try our best to live for the Lord, but none of us are perfect. He was God in the flesh. There's things he did that we can't do, right? And that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, Jenny, go out here to St. Lawrence and walk over the St. Lawrence River, right? He's not speaking of those things, right? But he's saying there should be a desire in our heart to live for God. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look what the Bible says here, starting at verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. What do you think he's talking of that? That we were all dead. What do you think that means? We are all dead. John?
Spiritually dead.
Yeah, dead, right? Spiritually. What he's saying is we were all lost, right, at one time, right? Those that got saved or born again, right? We have, our eyes have been opened. We've been awakened or alive. There's still others that are spiritually dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So that day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's no longer, Rachel, about you and your desires, what you want. It should be about what he wants, right? And that's what the Bible's saying, right? So it's no longer, before I got saved, my desire was to be a Major League Baseball player. That was my desire. When I was, I can't remember how old I was, but that was my desire. And that's what I wanted. And I would have probably done anything to have been a Major League Baseball player. I got saved afterwards. But can I tell you, now that I'm saved, if I could go back, I would change it all if I could, right? Now we know we can't go back or whatever. But I wouldn't even play. I wouldn't. Because the reality is this, I could see it would have took me away from God if I was born again. It would have took me away from God. It amazes me the games that they have on Sunday. You know? The travel games are all on Sunday. You know, why is that? Well, because there is a real God and there's a real devil. And if you don't think the devil tries to influence people away from God, then you're being deceived. Amen. So the reality is this. If I wouldn't play, right? I would go back. I'd be like, I don't want to play. Amen. Why is that? Because there's new desires, new things I want to do. What is, I want to please God now. Amen. He goes on and says, in verse 16, I'll read it again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, though we know him, have known Christ after flesh. Henceforth, know we him no more. Look at this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what do you think that means? In Christ. What is that referring to? In Christ. Well, take this. You're going a little bit further onto that. In Christ, just plain in Christ. What does in Christ mean? I'm not saying your first part of that is not wrong. Is wrong. In Christ, what do you think that means? Holy Spirit. Well, when the Holy Spirit gets in us, what do you think that is?
Salvation.
Salvation, right? In Christ. When you are in Christ, that means you're born again. That's your position, right? You're saved. Amen. So this is what he's saying. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, again, it's saying that you're born again in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That verse we read back at verse 15, those desires change. Before you wanted to please self. I'm not saying there's still not times you do things for yourself. But now you have a new desire. What? He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I want to serve Him. Right? Before, I loved sin, and still my flesh loves sin. But the reality is now, I love the Word of God. Before, I did not see sin as sin. I was like, it wasn't that bad. Who cares if I drank a little bit? Who cares if I got drunk? You know? I always find it amazing. I would get drunk and I would never call myself a drunk. I wasn't a drunk. You know? I get drunk 2 times a week and blackout and stuff. I'm not a drunk, you know? You can imagine someone came in, preacher, got drunk twice. Hey, we'll find another church. Amen. This ain't a good one. Yeah, it would be right. Why is that? Because you don't see sin as sin. And then you get saved, what happens? There's a change. You see it for what it is, right? So here it is. He says, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Have you seen that in your life when you got saved? It was kind of like maybe some things that you'd done before. You were thinking, ooh, I probably shouldn't do that. You know, when my dad got saved, I remember he told me when he got saved, my dad was a drunk. He went to his fridge and opened up this fridge and he had beer in there. And it always amazes to me. Sometimes there's people can't buy stuff. They can't buy food. They can't buy anything. But Mark, somehow they had the money for the cigarettes. They had the money for the beer. They had money for the cell phone. They had money for the cable. Well, they have no money for food. Well, oh, can I afford it? Well, get rid of those dumb cigarettes and stop drinking. And, you know, if you have to, get a straight talker or whatever phone. Do something different. Anyway, how'd it go? Oh, it was junk. But he opened up the fridge and there was the beer and he dumped it all out. What's that?
Your dad did.
My dad did when he got saved. You know, before I got saved, Mark, you know, if I woke up and I found a beer that was sitting there that was still full or whatever, I would have drank it.
Yeah, me too.
There would have been no way I would have dumped that. You're good boy, what are you doing? Don't dump that out. I'll drink it. Didn't matter what time it was, 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, just go ahead, you know. We always come up with excuses. Oh, help the hangover or whatever. I don't know. My dad dumped it all out. Why? Because he was a new creature. Right? So, and you think about it, in your life changes. Life changes. And that's what the Bible says. So if you think about it, what are we talking about? He is our example. And since He's our example, when you get saved and you are in Christ, now your life is going to change. Again, I'm not talking about perfection. None of us are perfect, right? So don't misunderstand what I'm talking about. But your life is going to be different. That's what the Bible says. That's why when you run into someone that claims to be a Christian, I don't know someone's heart, right? I don't. I don't know his heart. I don't know Mark's heart. I don't know Joe's heart. I don't know Chris's. I don't know anyone's heart, right? All I could do is try to tell you, hey, this is what salvation is. You say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you, right? But the reality is, you'll know, right? If you examine your life, you would know. But here it is. He's telling you, if you're saying you're saved and your life never changed, you can call yourself whatever you want, but you shouldn't call yourself a Christian. That's what he's saying, right? If you're in Christ, your life is going to be different. Now, again, he didn't say perfect, but what he's saying is there's a change that's in your life. I have talked to people and some people I've talked to and it's like, yeah, I'm born again. And I was like, well, why is it you keep on living this way and do these things? And why is it there's no change in your life? There's no desire for God. Have you ever had a desire for God? Nah. You know, have you gone to church? Nah, I don't need to go to church or whatever. Well, that's true. You don't need to go to church to go to heaven. But if you want to be right with God, you'll go to church, right? But anyway, why is it? Well, maybe all they have is a profession and not a possession, right? But anyway, he's telling us our life will be different, right? We'll be surrendered to him. Surrendered. Now, again, don't misunderstand. This does not mean that you won't backslide, right? He's not talking about that. So he's talking in contents, right? Your life is changed. There'll be desires. But what happens? The devil tries to come and he throws those darts at you, Mark. And you're trying to serve the Lord and he throws a dart and your shield of faith gets down and he gets you. And you're like, oh, I'm done, right? I just want to quit, right? And then what happens if you're born again and you get there? What do you think happens to you?
Chasten.
Who said it? You? Yeah. But before you got saved, you didn't get chastened. Now, there's consequences for action, right? I mean, you have a stove and you light the fire. It's there, gas stove. You're trying to get rid of that. Don't get rid of the gas stove, right? And you put your hand over the flame, right? You know? Well, you were dumb, amen? You got the consequences for being dumb, right? And sometimes in life people say, I must be chastened by God. Well, no, you were dumb, amen? You were going 140 miles per hour down the road, right? And you hit a tree or whatever it was. You should thank God that you're alive. You know? But yeah, you may be 6 feet under, amen? You'll realize. But just because you have consequences of life, that doesn't mean that you're chastened of God. When you're chastened from God, you'll know it, right? You'll know God is chastening you. But why is that? Because you're born again. Because you're not walking as He wants you to walk. Look what the Bible says over here to Ephesians chapter 5. Is this making sense to you? I'm hoping it makes sense. All right. Ephesians chapter 5. Talking about our walk. Ephesians chapter 5. So He's our example. So that means if He's our example, we should follow in His steps. Look over here to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, this is free for you. If you're doing a study in the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, I'm not saying all of it, but the first three chapters, it talks about your position. Position means you are what? Saved, right? And you'll see that in Christ. You'll see that in the first three chapters. And what he's talking about is your position. Can your position ever change being saved?
No,
right? So realize that, right? So when you're reading through, that's what he's talking about, the position. There's other places. When you get to chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, now he changes, you know, and he's not talking about your position, even though there is a verse in this chapter he does. You know what he talks about? Look here, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. Now he's talking about our what?
Walk,
right? Verse 1, what else do you see? Well,
children,
right? But he's talking about something else. Begins with an F, verse 1.
Followers,
right? Follow the leader. Do you imagine if I wouldn't do this to you. But do you imagine if I tell you all to stand up and what we're going to do is we're going to get in line and I'll go forward and we're going to start walking and I'll start walking goofy or whatever doing and say, follow me. Oh, you'd be like, I'm out of here, right? But do you ever do that as a kid? You know, what was it? Simon Says or something. Simon Says, stand on one leg. Simon Says, you know, do this or whatever. And what is it? You follow, right? Here it is. He's telling us to follow as dear children, right? To follow God. He's talking about not our position, but our walk. That's your practice. That's your daily living, right? But again, he tells us here, followers of God. That's what we should do. He's our example, and if he's our example, then we should follow. And then look what he says as we start at verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become as saints. Here it is, he's saying, as believers, make sure you keep sin out, and especially some of these sins. He's saying, hey, don't allow it to be to your name once, right? He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So fornication, you know what that would be, sex outside of marriage. I wrote down some of these other ones because I forget. Uncleanness, it refers to impurity. Filthiness is corruption, shamefulness. Foolish talking is unwholesome talking. Jesting, it means improper joking, right? He's not saying you can't tell a joke or anything like that, right? So words sometimes change over times, or the definitions or meanings have changed. But if you look here, that's what he's improper joking, right? Well, if you think about it, improper joking would be what they say, off-collar jokes or, things to that nature, right? Dirty jokes and stuff like that, you know, things like that. And here it is, he's saying, as a Christian, don't do it, right? Why? Would Jesus, in his walk, do you think he ever told a dirty joke?
Maybe a white horse fell in the mud puddle, but that's about it.
What's that?
He
never, we'll have to get rid of John, censor John, amen. He's been censored, I'm just teasing. But the reality is, you think about it, no, right? Rephrase it, John. Do you think he ever did jesting as divine? There we go, amen. So, but the reality is, why would you say no? Because he's perfect, he's holy, right? So if we as believers, he's our example, right, and follow the walk, again, we're not perfect, right? What God's saying is saying, you and I shouldn't be telling off-color jokes, right? We shouldn't be telling dirty jokes, right? We shouldn't do things like that, right? And you shouldn't get to the place where someone's telling a dirty joke and you stay there and keep on listening. Yeah, keep on telling me more. I'm not saying it, Chris. He's saying it. Well, the reality is, you're still listening, right? Yeah, just get away, right? Sometimes you may, if you're in assembly line, you may not be able to get out, per se. There's times you may not be able to get out. But do your best, sing a song or something that's in your mind, not to think about it, right? Did you have a question?
No, just a statement. If it wasn't for Christ dying for us and for him being holy, and he had the sin nature, there would be no need to die for us for our sins.
Well, if he was a sinner, yeah, he couldn't die for us, right? Not convenient talks about it's not proper, not fit, right? He goes on and says, for ye know that no whoremonger is fornicator, where are we at? Nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, right? Have you ever heard someone say, you can live rich any way you want to, it's okay. You don't have to go to church, you know. It's okay to do that. It's okay to drink a beer. Or it's okay. You won't find that. Vain words. They're lying to you, right? They're vain, right? It's empty, right? Ask yourself, do you think Jesus is out there drinking a beer? Why wouldn't you think Jesus is drinking a beer? Because he's holy. You walk as he walks, right? Do you know, I was talking to a gentleman this past week, and he was saying about a youth pastor that was in a Baptist church defending drinking. And he's like, no, that's not right. I was thinking, I said, praise the Lord for you. Said, you're right, it's not right. Can I tell you, it is happening in churches all across the land, where they try to justify, no, vain words, right? You know, we are supposed to walk like him. And if you're going to walk like him, you're not going to be associated with it, right? You're going to stay away from it, right? It says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not partakers with them, right? So, Chris, you don't tell the dirty joke and don't be associated with it, right? This is pretty simple, right? For ye were sometimes darkness, what does that mean, lost, but now ye are light in the Lord. So when you see that in the Lord, what do you think he's talking about? Your position, right? He's saying you're born again. Then look what he says. Walk as children of light, since you are in Christ, in the Lord, born again. Now walk. That's your daily living, right? Do your best, right? It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How are you going to know what's acceptable? There you go. That's how you find out. You want to find out to do something or not do something, right? Yes, the Holy Spirit is in us. But proving, right? Find it out, right? Well, John told me it was okay to do it, so I guess it must be okay to do it, right? Well, find out. Is John right or John wrong? And look at this. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When I worked at Citibank, they invited me. There was a lady that got a promotion. She was going to be a trainer. They were going out drinking. And I was like, I can't do that. I don't drink. And they said, that's fine. You don't have to go drinking. Just come with us and sit there. They were like, aren't you happy that she got a promotion? I said, yeah, I'm thrilled that she got a promotion. Well, come. And I said, I can't. I'm a Christian. I won't be there. And for the next, I don't know how many hours, they pressured me constantly, was over and over and said, come on. And I was like, no, I'm a Christian. I'm not going. And when it was, I worked second shift. Then when we were leaving at 12 o'clock, so I was shutting everything down. And as they were all leaving, there was a group of there, like, the, I don't know, supervisors, whatever you define, that were leaving. The one guy stopped. And he came back and he looked at me and said, do you know if you'd have went tonight, I'd have never believed a single word that you said. And he left. You know, I would say, whew, you know, because he knew, right? Elma, he knew. Anyway, it says reprove them. Look at this. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved, that word reproved, I believe I put it here somewhere, is to convince, convict, tell a fault, or rebuke. Right? I know the Holy Spirit is the one that brings to conviction. But what the Bible is saying about that reprove is to say, no, that's not right. You know? Avoid it, but also to tell them, right? Now, you have to have wisdom. Allow the Lord give you wisdom when you say things, right? That's there. But you can tell them, right? Allow them to know. That ain't right. Where we have verse 13. I'll hurry up here and almost get. But those things which are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Don't give them your opinion, right? John, you shouldn't drink Kool-Aid because the Kool-Aid has a lot of sugar in it, right? And you drink that sugar. And again, it may be good not to drink the sugar or whatever that's there. But you drink Kool-Aid, you won't be right with God, right? Well, that ain't based on nothing in the Bible, right? But John, if you drink that alcohol, you're not right with God. That's different. That's Bible. It's reproved by the light, right? So don't make sure you're what you're saying is righteous. There, wherefore he saith, look at this, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk, again, walk circumspectly. Anybody know what that big word circumspectly means? Anybody want to guess? Joe.
Carefully, cautiously.
Joe is a walking encyclopedia. Yes, looking on all sides, cautious, prudent, watchful, right? Here it says, walk circumspectly. That means watch your life. Chris, the things that you do in your life, God's saying to analyze. Watch it, right?
To observe.
Yeah.
Say it
cautious.
Careful, cautious.
Cautious.
Careful.
Let me go back to it. Looking on all sides, cautious, prudent, watchful, right? God's telling us to watch her life. Do you ever think about it in the Old Testament? I'm winding down here. So I didn't preach on Sunday. I could have. They asked me to, or he asked me to. I told him no. Do you ever think about it in the Old Testament? They were told to do all kinds of stuff, right? Can't eat this. Can't eat that. Can't wear this with this, right? I mean, it was like every aspect of their life, they were supposed to what? To examine and look at it, right? I mean, they were examining everything. You know, think about it. In the New Testament, I mean, if you want to wear, I don't know what it was, wool and something else together, you can, right? And it'll be quite hot to wear part of the wool, especially here this evening. But the reality is, we're supposed to examine our lives. walk circumspectly, right? There's things in the Old Testament, there is meanings for that. Even though it may not be the exact thing, there's still a separation. Where are we at? Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil, right? Well, you surely know that. And look at this. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? Well, you get saved, and what is that? See, here's the thing when you're saved. Here's the center of God's will. You're saying, I want to find the center of God's will. Look! Brother Brady said, but get saved, right? Here's the center of God's will. Walk as He walked. You want to be in the center of God's will, start walking as He walked. Just quickly sum it up. I mean, there it is. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You go back to those verses, right? It's everything that's adding up, and then you can keep on going. It talks about being in the Spirit. But there's the center of God's will. You start walking as God walked, our Lord Jesus Christ, and finding out what He says, and you'll find yourself dead middle in the center of God's will. And when you're in the dead center of God's will and you keep on walking as God wants you to walk, you know what'll happen? God will open up other opportunities for you. No? Things will open up. But you're not going to get there unless you're willing to walk as He walked, right? He is our example, so if He's our example, then the reality is this. We should follow that example. Hopefully that makes sense. There's so much more that I can go to. Sometimes we make it harder than what it is, right? Get saved, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and after you get saved, start walking as He walked. It's simple, right? I'll teach you to be fishers of men. What was he? He taught them how to get people saved and what? Then what? Disciple them. And what do they disciple? Get them to walk as Jesus walked. Remember in the book of Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 14, somewhere in there, that Barnabas went to Saul, Paul, and said, hey, you got to come to these believers. And as he went to those believers, he stayed there for 1 year, I believe the Bible says, and taught them the scriptures, and they were first called Christians there. You know what Paul taught them? Start walking like Jesus walked. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, you'll find where Paul says, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Now that is a statement. Think about that one for a moment. Be followers of me. What is he saying? I am walking like God wants me to walk as I am of Christ, right? So, wow, what a statement. But anyway, he is our example. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach, and I pray that the message tonight was a blessing and a help. Lord, I know it's a lot of information, but I pray, Lord, that we would be able to take it in and apply it to our heart and our life. Help us to walk with you. And help us to be a blessing. Help us to examine our life circumspectly, to examine it. And we ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.